It is now 9 o'clock.
The news update, I'm Angus Morad. The whole London Underground system has been shut down as firebombs have gone off at two tube stations. Earlier, a third device ignited on a BR train in Essex. Details from Tim Webb.
Underground trains had to be evacuated at the height of the morning rush hour. One firebomb went off on a tube train at Harrow station. Another exploded on a train at Neasden depot. There are no reports of any injuries. LRT says the underground system will be progressively opened over the next few hours after searches of each station. During the early hours, a cleaner found a firebomb smouldering under a seat of a train at BR's Ilford depot in Essex. The train was due to run between Liverpool Street and Stansted.
The chairman of the backbench Conservative Committee on Northern Ireland, Ivor Stanbrook, says it must be the work of the IRA, following their firebomb at Clapham last Monday morning, which paralysed the BR network in the capital.
I suppose they calculated with their apparent success in bringing terrorism to the heart of the capital last Monday, that a similar outrage this morning would result in a similar effect. I don't think it makes the slightest difference to the determination of the authorities to beat terrorism and to get hold of those who are responsible for the latest outrage.
In Northern Ireland, the weekend's tit-for-tat killings has brought a grim milestone. 75 civilians have now died this year, the highest death toll for 15 years. And an 8-year-old boy is critically ill after being shot in the head by a gunman who burst into a bar in Belfast. Here's Kevin Murphy.
Little Christopher Lawless was sitting on a stool eating crisps and drinking Coca-Cola when the gunman burst into the Catholic bar and sprayed it with bullets. Christopher was hit in the eye. Witnesses told Sky News the gunman stood over him and deliberately shot him.
He just stood there with a gun in his hand over the wee lad. Never said a word, just came in and shot all round him. Run round the snooker table shooting anybody that was on the snooker tables.
The outlawed Protestant group, the Ulster Freedom Fighters, admitted they carried out the attack, but denied that the gunman deliberately shot the boy.
Other news this morning, Georgia's refusal to join Boris Yeltsin's new Commonwealth has sparked angry protests in Moscow and St. Petersburg. And in Georgian capital Tbilisi, at least 17 people have died in clashes with troops loyal to President Gamsa Kurdia. He's holed up in a basement of a government building being pounded by opposition forces with artillery shells, mortar bombs and automatic rifle fire. This from Sky News Moscow correspondent Nick Worrell.
The amount of the National Guard that's against Gamsa Kurdia is about 5,000 men. So it's quite a lot of armed people. And it is a country where most people have some sort of weapon as well, a shotgun or some other weapon. So unless Gamsa Kurdia can get reinforcements, and I suppose there's a remote possibility that the Soviet army could be called in, although I can't imagine for a moment that he would want that to happen, he doesn't seem to be in a very good position.
And two stories in brief. Attempts to arrange a Christmas ceasefire in Croatia have failed. And two men are in court charged with attempting to murder Police Sergeant Alan Jones in London. Network News time, 3 minutes past the hour.
There are over 30 million children on the streets of the world's cities. Please help Radio Cracker to help them.
This is Radio Cracker, Potters Bar 100.7 FM, broadcasting to Potters Bar and surrounding districts. My name's Chris Cook, and I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I was here until 11.30 last night after doing 10 by 1 with John Walford. A very good morning to John Walford. Hope you're well today. In the studio today, we have Susie Driver, fresh over from North Carolina. Hi, Susie.
Hello, Chris.
So, you're ready for Christmas?
I'm doing all my Christmas shopping today, actually.
Oh, that's going to be fun with the undergrounds out of
there. Yeah.
There's probably a few shops around King's Cross you might be able to visit. We've had quite a difficult time here. We had firebombs at Brent Cross the other week, which closed that down because we had the problems last Monday with the tubes. Is it something that Americans are aware of, this our domestic problems with bombs and things?
We'll hear about if a bomb explodes at Harrods, and that's about it, the last one. And
there was a lot of concern over when with Lockerbie, wasn't there, in the Gulf
That's
War.
Right. One of the times that Paul and I came over for a visit, there was the explosion at Lockerbie, and we were flying over the next day on the same number flight, Pan Am 103, and our flight was half empty because a lot of people just changed their plans. But we went ahead, we were brave, and luckily everything was okay.
I think the thing that really hit the economy over here was the Gulf War. Suddenly the tourists just didn't come to London, especially obviously the Americans. Why was that, do you think? Were they really concerned about Europe getting involved and with terrorism and the like?
I just think people are really scared when a war goes on and they'd just rather stay home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, talking again about England in particular, what is it you really like about England? I mean, apart from the fact that Paul's family are over there, of course. come on, we've got to delve into this. There is something about the English and English way of life that does appeal to the Americans, isn't there?
As well as the weather.
As well as the
she
weather.
She loves the weather.
Well, I love London. I think it's the greatest city in the world. It's so much fun and so many things to do and offer so much. And
that's interesting because, I mean, you've travelled quite widely in Europe, haven't you?
Well,
most Americans have.
Yeah, I think I've been around a little bit. And I just like the people. Mm-hmm. Everyone's been really friendly and nice, and the countryside is beautiful. And I think you can do just about everything in England. You have beautiful countryside, and you have a great city as well.
Mm. There's a lot of people who haven't visited America, including me. Tell me a little bit about the differences between America and Britain. I mean, obviously, there's so much more packed into Britain in a small area.
That's right. That's just what I was going to say. In especially the area we're living now, everything's spread out really far. And here, I find you can do everything a lot easier. And when the underground system isn't being bombed, it's really great to get around. Mm-hmm. You can get everywhere really fast.
Right. But in America, if you want to get a change of scenery almost, you've got to fly somewhere. It's that much bigger, isn't it?
That's right.
That might seem obvious to people who've been out.
I think the only thing you don't have here is warm beaches, or maybe you do and I don't know about them.
No, I don't think we discovered those yet.
Every time I've been here about 8 or 9 times now, and every time I come, my husband Paul says he's going to take me to the Lake District if it doesn't rain.
Right.
And I've been waiting almost 10 years for him to take me.
It always rains in the Lake District.
Well, that's why there's lakes. Fill them up.
And one time we were here, we came for 3 weeks, and it rained every single day. Mm. So we decided to stay an extra week, but then it was really beautiful that last week.
Oh, that was a good decision, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, Susie, thanks so much. Paul, if you can come back to the microphone. What does it feel like coming back to Britain? I think 3 years.
Well, yes, I've had a 3-year hiatus. And
well, that's another word for Sheila to spell.
On coming back this time, actually, I didn't really, you know, notice too much change. Mm. Nothing has really changed very much in the last 3 years.
One, two changes at White Hart Lane?
Well, I haven't been up there yet. I'm going up there Saturday to see the game against Norwich.
Mm-hmm. And for people out there who know you, what have you been doing in the States?
Been training to be a doctor. I'm now qualified and right now doing a residency in ophthalmology, which is eye surgery. Right. Ophthalmology probably being another word that your friend would like to spell
later. Yeah. Should probably translate into French. We can't spell it in English. No, I shouldn't say things like that.
And just enjoying life over there. I obviously still miss England quite a lot. Mm-hmm. But
you got plans to come back?
Well,
I'm trying to convince him to move.
We're fairly undecided at the moment.
And where would you come back, to Potter's Bar or a different part of the country?
Oh, yes, I think I'd come back to the southeast of England. But, of course, it's very difficult now because it's expensive here with property prices and everything else.
Do you feel it's a lot more crowded in Britain than in the States?
No, actually, you don't get that sensation of crowding because in the United States, everything is spread out so much. In England, everything is very compact. Mm. As soon as you leave a town, you're in the countryside. It's not really that way in the United States.
No, but do you feel, when you come over here, do you feel, you know, we're all living on top of one another and there isn't much space?
Yes, the roads are much more narrow and there's a lot more cars on the road too. The traffic is very congested.
Mm-hmm. Right. Susie, we have to say goodbye because we've got a few things to get through before 9:30. You've chosen another track by McCartney. Do you like to tell me what it is?
I forget which one it was.
It was one from Venus and Mars.
Venus and Mars, one of my favourite albums. I remember when Paul McCartney had his concert about 9 or 10 years ago, and that was the big one that was out at the time.
I think you gave me the answer.
You gave me the answer. Yeah, I like this one. It's kind of sort of a 40-ish, 1940s style. Mm-hmm. I could picture him there with his megaphone pretending. Right. And
something like Press to Play. Cause
that's right.
The picture on the cover there was from
1930s. Yeah, sort of black and white.
Mm, that's very soft sort of focus.
But you could do a picture like that.
Oh. You flatter me.
For all Chris's listeners out there that doesn't know, he's an expert photographer. So come around to the cookhouse and have a family portrait done.
See, we're a cracker at the moment. Paul, we're having a bit of a celebration on Friday, I gather, at Little Berkhamsted? according to Pete Thompson?
Yes, another one of our friends is coming in from Denmark for the holidays, and we're all having a get-together.
Right, I gather talking to Pete last night, the drinks and the meals are on you, so I'd like to place on record my
Well, I think someone's going to be washing the dishes, if that's the case.
My gratitude to you for coming over and spending a few dollars.
Thank you very much. I'd like to wish everyone out there who's listening a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Great.
And thanks for listening to Radio Cracker.
Fine.
I think this is a very good appeal, and wish it lots of success.
Great. Let's listen to, then, Paul McCartney, taken from the album Venus and Mars, You Gave Me the Answer.
To love eternally, I love you and you, you seem to like me. Wherever we wander, the local folk agree, I love you and you, you seem to like me. Heading back to old familiar places, places where the cobwebs blow away, I can't forget the airs and graces. Of tea, and I love you, and you, you seem to like, you seem to like, you seem to like me.
Have you got a pension locked up with an ex-employer? Did you know it doesn't cost anything extra to unlock that old pension and give it freedom to grow? Well, we at Canada Life can give you the key. So why not call us on Potters Bar 45324. Got that? Potters Bar 45324.
countless Americans eat all sorts of things. I don't know if they eat cannibals. I'd almost say this seems apt, except it's an advert for the Highland Angus Steakhouse. They wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all their customers and friends from Tarzan. Highland Angus Steakhouses are at 88 the High Street, Potter's Bar, and 43 Cannon Hill, Southgate. And the secondary message there is visit them now and in the new year for excellent meals served in a friendly atmosphere. Now, if you've been listening to Radio Cracker since we started on the 30th of November, you'll know that I've done quite a few interviews. They all seem to land on my desk. Tomorrow I'm going to be speaking to Bob Wilson around about 3 o'clock, and we need some dedications for that show, because otherwise we're just going to keep on talking and talking and talking. So, go down to the Cracker Shop in Darts Lane, opposite the station, next to H.E. Gerber the Jewellers. Make a dedication. Why don't you write down a question that I can ask Bob when he comes in tomorrow? There must be certain things you want to ask all you budding goalkeepers out there, or football presenters, sports presenters. Make a dedication, make a donation, and put a question on there for Bob as well. Between 3 and 4 o'clock, Bob Wilson coming in to talk to me. This is a young lad who sent us a tape. His name's Stuart Glover. He's been appearing in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as part of the Capital Arts Group. He sent a tape in and asked us if we'd like to play it. He made a donation, which is really good of him. Thank you, Stuart. When we listened to it, the quality really wasn't good enough to be honest, which not a comment about Stuart, but the equipment that he got there. So I invited him round yesterday afternoon and interviewed him, and here we go.
With Stuart. I have a young man sitting opposite me. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Stuart.
Mm-hmm. And you live in Potter's Bar?
Yeah.
How old are you?
13.
Okay. And what are you doing here talking to me?
I'm talking to you about Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat of Jason Donovan.
Mm-hmm. Stuart dropped in the tape to the Radio Cracker shop. We had a listen to it, and it wasn't quite up to scratch. So I invited Stuart to come round and re-record it and talk to me a bit about the show. How did you get involved with Joseph?
I'm in a group called Capital Arts Theatre, and we entered a competition to appear in Joseph in April, and we got through to the semi-final, and then the judges contacted us and told us that we'd got through to the final. Mm-hmm. And then we won the competition, and there was 3 other choirs that won as well, because we can only do 3 days a week by law. And so there was us and another school called Rickmansworth that done 1 week, and then the next week Appledon and Grove House School would do it. And then we done that for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. And where's the Capital Arts Centre?
It's at Mount Grace School.
All right, so you go to Mount Grace?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So which year are you in there?
2nd.
And where did you go to school before that?
Cranbourne.
Ah, that's my old school. Let's go there. My mother teaches at Cranbourne. Do you know Mrs. Cook?
Yeah.
Yes. You weren't in her class?
No.
Oh, well. Say hello to her anyway. Say hello to all the teachers at Cranbourne School and all the pupils there as well. We've been very involved with the schools. We visited Little Heath, went to Mary Poppins up there, and we visited Sunnybank the other day as well, and recorded some things from there, which is good fun. Anyway, back to Joseph. Tell me a bit more about Joseph. I haven't seen it at all. So.
Well, it's about the story from the Bible about Joseph gets this coat, and it's he's the favourite son of Jacob, and there's 11 other brothers, and they're all jealous of the coat, so they get rid of him and sell him to a man called Potiphar in Egypt, but Potiphar's wife seduces him, so then he gets sent into prison. And then Pharaoh calls him up, and he's like back on top again, and the brothers come grovelling to Egypt. Mm-hmm. To get...
So that's a general story. Tell me a little bit about the show itself. How do you become involved in the choir? How does Jason Donovan become involved?
Well, to start with, there's just Jason and the children on stage singing the song, and then it just goes through the show, and there's... The children are like there's a narrator called Lindsay, and she's like a school teacher, I suppose you could say, and that's the sort of way it goes.
Mm-hmm. How long does it go on for, the show?
About 2 hours.
And you're on stage for most of those 2 hours?
Yeah. There's only two songs we miss.
That's a long time, isn't it? How many songs in all, then? Roughly.
About 19 or 20, but they, like, fit into each other.
Mm-hmm.
To tell the story.
Right. And who wrote Joseph? Is it
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Citizen Andrew Lloyd Webber.
And Tim Rice.
Mm-hmm. It's not a new... they wrote it a while back, I think, didn't they? It's been performed.
1968 it was originally wrote.
Right, because they were famous for other things like Jesus Christ Superstar and lots of shows like that. So have you enjoyed being in Joseph?
Yeah, it was really good fun because I've never done anything like it before, really. Mm-hmm. But we had to leave in August because we could only do 3 months a year by law.
Mm-hmm. So what was the schedule for the actual shows?
Well, we had to be at the theatre on... It was a three-day week. We used to do Thursday, Friday and Saturday matinee. And then we done Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday matinee. Mm-hmm. And on the matinee days, we had to be there by 1:45 and then right through to the evening. And the show finished at about 10 o'clock. We didn't get home till about 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Well, was there a coach arranged from Polly's Bar? So every evening, coach up there and the coach back.
Yeah.
How did you manage to fit in homework with that? That must have been a bit tricky.
It was, but we managed to fit it in because we had the weeks off and we didn't have to get to the coach to leave on the normal days till about 5:15, so I had some time and then I'd done it on the coach sometimes.
Would you like to say hello to somebody at the Capital Arts group?
Well, I'd just like to say hello to everyone, really, because we've just been rehearsing for Cinderella.
Uh-huh. And where's that taking place?
At the Purcell Rooms in London.
All right. And that's when does that actually start?
Tomorrow, actually. And they're only doing one day. Because it's a Christmas pantomime thing.
Right. As you can tell, poor Stuart's got a bit of a coffee. So sorry if you're getting deafened by that. How long have you had to prepare for the pantomime, then?
Oh, we've been rehearsing since the beginning of the month. But we've been, like, rehearsing nearly every day.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to dress up much for that?
Well, there's lots of different parts and it's quite funny, some of the costumes that we have to wear.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, most people want to know, I mean, quite apart from obviously the Potter's Bar involvement with Joseph, about the man himself, Mr. Donovan. How did you get on with him?
Well, he spoke to us, Rick just said hi and everything. He was just like a friend, really. He's not big-headed about his fame or anything. Mm-hmm. He's quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any parties, any showbiz parties or things like that?
Not really, because the time we finished the show it was a bit too late and there was like little Simon and Matthew who are only 9 and they have to go to school in the morning. And
it's a bit too much to put in the midnight oil. And how long does Joseph go on for?
2 hours.
No, sorry, I mean how much longer does it run for?
Oh, and they think till the end of May.
Really? Oh, that long?
Then it might be continued from there.
Mm-hmm. But is there any possibility you'll be involved again, or is it now other schools to supply
Probably
the...
Probably not, because they want to give the chance to as many people as possible.
Mm. That's been a good opportunity. What would you say to people out there who perhaps have a chance to get involved in something like this?
Definitely do it, because it's a really good opportunity and it's a really good experience to do it for that long. And with an adult cast as well.
Mm.
It's really good.
Is there anything you could say you've learnt from the experience? Perhaps learning to sing in a particular way or perform on stage?
I've probably become a better singer because of it. And it was, like, discipline as well. We had to listen as soon as we were told something.
Mm. Good. What are your hopes for the future? Do you see a life on the stage, perhaps, singing in some more shows?
I'd like to, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So when you leave school, what do you think you'll do?
I'd like to become a director or a singer or an actor.
Good. But to sum up, you definitely recommend anybody else to go and take a chance, get involved and
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Stuart, thank you very much for coming along today. We're going to play a couple of tracks from the show. Which one do you recommend?
The Joseph Megamix.
Okay, and you've got another single there, which
Any
is...
Any Dream Will Do.
Okay, we'll play those two tracks for you. As I say, you're actually at Pantomime today when we play this over the air.
Yeah.
So good luck for the performances and have a very happy Christmas. Thank you for coming along.
Someone somewhere is running a Radio Cracker space station. Near closed my eyes.
Thank you to Stuart there. A wonderful interview there, all about his involvement with Jason Donovan and Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Raincoat. We were going to play the other single, but Stuart, I think you took it home with you, mate. Didn't leave it for me. This is Chris Cook. This has been Breakfast on Radio Cracker, Potters Bar 100.7 FM. The last of these type of breakfast shows, at least for 1991. Tomorrow we have what is called a zoo. And if you don't know what a zoo is, you'll find out when you tune in tomorrow. Thank you to Jeanette Kales, who's been looking after the news. Thank you to Sheila Hughes, who's looking after the newspapers. Thank you to Paul, Susan and Robert for coming in. And hello to Michael, who's back there in Tiverton Road. That was good to have a couple of interviews on the show today. Thank you to Stuart as well for coming in yesterday. I'm going to hand over to Mr. Paul Davis, who is very pleased to know he's not going to be working today, given the problems with the London Underground. If you remember from last Monday, he took over as controller of the Victoria line. I think his theme tune is going to be something like I Don't Like Mondays after what's been going on here. I'd like to say thank you to everybody who's been involved with Radio Cracker. Thank you to everybody who's listened. I'm afraid you've had more than your fair share of my voice on the airways with various programmes, but I would say I have thoroughly enjoyed this. It's been good playing music. I hope you've enjoyed it. Do drop a note down to the Cracker shop and give us some feedback on what we've been doing, especially if you like the French music or some of the sort of 70s, early 80s type tracks, the adult orientated rock. I can say that now after 4 weeks of trying to do it. I'm going to finish off now with one of my favourite tracks, and this should be an inspiration to anybody who wants to go down and make a dedication in the shop. It's by the Beatles, it's from Abbey Road, and it's called Something.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how. Somewhere in her smile she knows that I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me. Don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how. You're asking me, will my